Hello, everyone. Alan Dougherty here, and I'm so glad you could join me for another podcast of Preventive Health and Safety. It's a beautiful day out today. I took a nice long 2-mile walk, which is pretty good for me, and I'm glad I did. I feel great. Actually, my legs don't feel great, but the rest of me feels great, especially considering the topic we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about arteriosclerosis and atherosclerosis, a couple conditions that can affect a lot of the body, not just the heart, but as you know, the heart being a really, really important organ, we need to make sure that we include that in this discussion and exactly how arterio and atherosclerosis can affect it. So arteriosclerosis, and you know, both these terms kind of mean the same thing, sort of, and sometimes they're used interchangeably. But truthfully, arteriosclerosis just simply means a hardening of the arteries. They get thick, they get stiff, they get hard, and because of that, the diameter is narrowed and less blood is able to flow through. Now, atherosclerosis simply means a collection of, well, we'll just use a term that kind of encompasses everything, and that's plaque. It's a buildup of plaque, which is, could be cholesterol, could be triglycerides, could be, you know, just a combination of some other things as well. But it accumulates along the sides of the wall, and again, it hardens and narrows the vessel. So the main problem is, as you know, that if these arteries are occluded, they're narrowed, and they're not as elastic as they should be, they're not properly able to get blood to the various places in the body that it needs to go. Now, obviously, you know, and I'm sharing some of these details just in case we have some new listeners who perhaps don't really know a lot about anatomy, and there's nothing wrong with that. People that are not in the medical field, you know, you're not required to learn all the anatomy and physiology of the body. But arteries carry blood from the heart, with the exception of one. They carry blood to the rest of the body. And so it's a very important function because the blood carries oxygen and all our tissues need oxygen to survive. So when these arteries become occluded and they can carry less oxygenated blood to these various tissues and organs of the body, it obviously causes quite a problem. So, you know, arteriosclerosis, atherosclerosis, there's a lot of things that you can look at that can cause these. And when we talk about heart disease, and we've talked about it in the past, since heart disease is still the number one killer in America, and probably always will be, but some of the same causes of what we would consider just plain heart disease actually is the same risk factors and the same causes of athero and arteriosclerosis. For example, high blood pressure. I can't stress enough how important it is to make sure your blood pressure is not high. It amazes me when we have patients come into our dialysis centers, their blood pressure is sky high. Oh, I forgot my medications. So nonchalantly, not understanding in full, even after it's been explained to them hundreds of times, how damaging blood pressure can be if it's unregulated and uncontrolled. High cholesterol, obviously, when we're talking about cholesterol accumulating along the sides of the arteries, if you have high cholesterol, that's an issue. And, you know, we have a lot of different things today as far as medications that are able to help lower cholesterol. There's also a good cholesterol and a bad cholesterol, and I'm not going to go into that detail right now. But there are dietary ways to increase your good cholesterol and decrease your bad cholesterol. There's always stuff in foods that can do both, so we want to watch for that, the saturated fats and the polyunsaturated fats. And there are just so many things that we can do to control it that, you know, cholesterol, I mean, sometimes it's going to be a problem because I'll be honest with you, cholesterol, or it's called hypercholesterolemia, which means you just have high cholesterol. And that is very, very hereditary. I know my family has had it for years and years and generations and generations, and people have died of heart attacks. Of course, back in the old days, a lot earlier, because there wasn't much in the way of preventive health care, and every generation seems like a little bit longer. Now, I'm 68, and I've already had quadruple bypass, several stents, couple ablations, and two or three cardioversions. I forgot already. But I've had a lot of stuff done with my heart. And a lot of it's due to the buildup, the cholesterol. But I've been taking cholesterol medication for quite some time. And when you take cholesterol medication, it's really something that does help. I've noticed that just in my lab values, how my cholesterol is pretty well controlled now that I've been on these different types of medications. So people say, I just don't like taking medication. Yeah, I know you don't, and I understand that. And I would do everything possible that I could to follow the proper diet and get the right amount of exercise and try to keep that cholesterol as low as you can. But taking medication now is better than letting cholesterol form along the insides of your arteries, causing atherosclerosis, causing arteriosclerosis, and perhaps causing you to have a heart attack. So you've got to weigh, okay, the benefits and the risk. Well, some of these medications have a lot of side effects and risk. Have you ever looked up the side effects of aspirin? I told somebody that one time, oh, this medication a doctor wants to give me has a couple of side effects. I said, look up aspirin. And look at the side effects of aspirin. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Most drugs are, because they're not natural. They're not something that our body, you know, is supposed to have floating around in the system. It's a foreign substance. It does help. Medications help tremendously. Thank God for it. I doubt if there'd be a whole lot of human living if we didn't have medications today. I mean, penicillin saved millions and millions of people just in just one medication there. So we've got lots of things that have come a long way, and they're working every day to try to find even safer medications. But please, if your cholesterol is up, that can definitely be a problem. Smoking and chewing tobacco. You know, we talk about smoking almost all the time with various different risk factors. And when you smoke or you use tobacco in any form, not only are you asking to increase your chances of getting cancer, but you're also contributing to arteriosclerosis. It contributes to the hardening of your arteries, and we don't want that. We want you to live a long, healthy life, and if your arteries harden, you're going to start having problems. Now, again, this whole scenario is really a problem because of the fact that when you're 20 and 30, your arteries can already be hardening, but you don't feel it. When you're 30 and 40, you don't feel it. When you're 40 and 50, you don't feel it. Maybe in your late 50s, you get a little chest discomfort when you walk up some stairs or you try to do something strenuous. Then when you get to be 60, it even gets worse and you have trouble breathing and so on and so forth. It's something that doesn't affect you at first. It's like any other health condition. You might not see the effects now, but it's happening. It's taking place. I used to live in Pennsylvania. I was born and raised in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is the rust capital of the world. That's what I used to call it. You get a vehicle in Pennsylvania, you know, you say, oh, these cars get 200,000 miles. Well, back in the old days, those cars wouldn't get, the engines could last a long time, but they rust out. I mean, you get a nick or a scratch, next thing you know, the whole fender falls off. It's terrible. It eats it. And that's exactly the same process with arteriosclerosis. It happens over time. It takes a little while, but eventually it gets harder and harder and harder. It's not one of those things where you eat a meat lover's pizza and all of a sudden your arteries go, start to harden up. That's not it at all. It takes time. And by the way, once it starts happening and once it gets to the place where it's causing a little bit of angina or chest pain, and it's causing you to maybe be a little bit lightheaded, and it's causing you to be fatigued and have problems, then there's no diet in the world that's going to get rid of it. I'll just be honest with you. Diet's not going to help then. Exercise isn't going to help then. You're going to have some kind of medical intervention. So the time to start taking thought about what I'm talking about today is no matter where you are in your life right now. I don't care if you're 15, 10, start thinking about eating healthy and exercising. We'll talk a little bit more about some preventive measures here in just a little bit. Speaking of eating well and exercising, the next cause of arteriosclerosis is obesity. And again, I seem like I'm a broken record sometimes on these podcasts because no matter what we talk about, it seems like the same different causes come up and the same risk factors. And obesity is another one. So many things. And yet it's so hard for us to understand that. You know, the good thing is that if you get a few of these risk factors out of the way, you are going to decrease your risk of coming down with several different conditions. So you get rid of your obesity, you get in shape, you get rid of the right BMI, you start eating better, healthy lifestyle changes, and the next thing you know, your risk for diabetes has gone down. Your risk for high blood pressure has gone down. Your risk for heart disease has gone down. Your risk for stroke has gone down. I can go on and on. So you're conquering a whole lot with just some simple changes. Same thing with smoking. All these, smoking is a risk factor in so many different conditions. And I don't know how I got off on all these tangents. Sorry. We're talking about heart disease, but here I go ride my hobby horses. Another cause of atherosclerosis and arteriosclerosis are inflammatory problems. Now, a lot of these, you know, you don't have a lot of control over. Some people that have things like arthritis and lupus and psoriasis and even inflammatory bowel disease, inflammation in itself, it really is hard on the arteries. There are certain tests that you can have, blood tests that you can have drawn to see what your reactive type is to inflammation and whether or not your body's kind of riddled with inflammation. Most of the time, if you have inflammation, you know it. If you have arthritis or if you have some kind of condition, you don't have irritable bowel syndrome and inflammatory bowel syndrome without knowing about it. You're gonna know. And it's a risk factor. By the way, there's another one too, and that's aging. And there's nothing we can do about that. Every day we get a day older and we can't stop that. Thank goodness. And we just gotta keep plugging along the best we can. But it's something to think about. Now, here again, think about now and then. When I get a little bit older, my risk for arteriosclerosis and atherosclerosis are going to go up. And I know that, right? So I need to do everything I can when I'm young to keep all the other risk factors out of play. Because that's one risk factor that's going to occur naturally, and I have nothing to say about it. So again, watching these risk factors, knocking them out as quickly as possible, is just monumental. You know, one of the other things that I want to mention, and I actually had a whole podcast on this, is sleep apnea. Man, sleep apnea is something that really causes a lot of problems. It can cause atrial fibrillation. It can cause heart problems. It can cause neurological problems. Sleep apnea and the lack of oxygen while you're sleeping can do monumental damage to several things, and it's actually a risk factor in having arteriosclerosis. So what am I saying? I'm saying that if you have any signs or symptoms of sleep apnea, you need to get that checked. Now, I wear CPAP every night. I hate it. I hated it from day one. I still hate it. I do not like sleeping with it. But I'll tell you what, when I first got diagnosed with sleep apnea, it was, I forget what they call it, but it was the worst kind you can get. It was really a severe sleep apnea is what they called it. It was over about 60 episodes an hour. That's like one a minute. And so that was just something that was really causing problems. And I was in AFib. I was on medications for AFib. I had ablations for AFib. And I still get it periodically, but not near as often as I used to. So sleep apnea is not to be played with. If you snore a lot and maybe your partner hears you every once in a while not breathing when you're sleeping at night, that just you say, well, I snore. I've always snored. That's just something I do. Well, it could be, and it could be absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it's always better to tell your doctor and get it checked so that if it is, we can get you on a machine that will help you breathe at night and keep you from having these other conditions. Now, we've talked about the causes and the risk factors. We've talked about what these are, but think about it for a minute. An artery carrying blood, oxygenated blood, needed oxygenated blood to all the major organs of the body and all the tissues in the body. And so we need to have that pipeline wide open, and athero and arterial sclerosis keeps that from happening. So if you think about it, your heart, number one, let's talk about that. When we talk about coronary artery disease, that's exactly what we're talking about. Now let me, again, I don't expect everybody to know all the anatomy of the heart, but the heart pumps blood out, goes through the aorta into the arteries and goes all throughout the body, right? But little branches off of that aorta actually produce blood flow to the tissues of the heart itself. I mean, the heart needs blood too, and not just the blood inside the chambers that get pumped to different places, but it needs blood also for itself to function. It's like a muscle, and it has living tissue, and it needs blood, and it needs oxygen. And when you don't have that, that's when you have heart problems. So when these coronary arteries start getting blocked, okay, we're talking about some serious things, because if that heart tissue doesn't get oxygen, it's going to cause pain. That's what chest pain is. If it gets bad enough and it's totally occluded, it can rupture, it can keep the blood from flowing to vital parts of the heart, and you could end up going into arrhythmias, which would cause sudden death or a myocardial infarction. So what I'm saying is, you know, these arteries, that the big arteries, when you think of, you know, you see it on movies, someone gets stabbed in the neck and you see this blood just squirting out every couple seconds. And well, that's a huge artery. These arteries in your heart, they're not that huge. They're kind of small, obviously, for the size of your heart. I mean, they're big enough to supply the blood, but it's a lot easier for them to, a lot quicker, be affected by atherosclerosis. I mean, you start getting that plaque buildup in those arteries, and you're asking for problems. How about carotid artery disease? Now, what's carotid artery disease? It's the same process, arterio and atherosclerosis, but this time it's in the carotid arteries in your neck. You have a carotid artery on the right side, on the left side, it branches off, and it actually branches off twice, and then it goes to about eight times, and it actually takes care of your whole face, your head, your scalp, inside your mouth, and of course to the brain. Now, if that brain doesn't get enough blood and the brain doesn't get enough oxygen, then you can have some serious problems. So if the carotid arteries themselves start to get sclerotic and start to get plaque buildup and start to have reduced blood flow, you can have TIAs, you can have strokes, and several other problems that you just don't want to have. And then when you get into the brain itself with all the different bifurcations of the arteries, when those get blocked up and break or quit supplying blood to the brain itself, you're talking about some serious, serious problems. I mean, stroke is huge. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people that have strokes every year. And, you know, those of you that have been around a loved one or a friend that has had a stroke, you know how catastrophic it is. It's just life-changing and sometimes life-ending. So it's very, very important to keep those arteries clean, because the brain, just like the heart, a lot of the arteries aren't real big, and because of that, you can have some blockages and you can have some problems result. Peripheral artery disease. Peripheral means away from the heart or on the outside, so to speak. So we have a trunk, and then the peripheries, the things that aren't attached to the trunk, like your legs, your arms, your hands, your feet. The peripheral things, the outside things, the things that are distant from the heart. So what happens, say, let's say, what happens if your arteries in your legs all of a sudden start to develop atherosclerosis or arteriosclerosis. The arteries harden, they get built up with plaque, and they stop supplying blood down to your lower legs and your feet. Then you're going to start having pain down there. You're going to start having lack of feeling. You're going to start having cold feet and cold hands. And sometimes the feeling gets to the place where you can't even feel things that you touch. It's really, sometimes it requires some surgery. And by the way, especially diabetics, but people that have infections in their feet and they have very poor blood supply to their feet, I hate to say it, but that's one of the things that really, really can cause a lot of problems and even up to different types of amputations, above the knee amputation, below the knee. I mean, I've seen so many of them in my years in dialysis. It's really sad. So you have peripheral artery disease and, of course, kidney disease. I've been in dialysis for 31 years, something I've been around for a long, long time, and it happens. The arteries to the kidneys get less blood. When less blood flows, then it starts to what we call fail or kidney failure, and then oftentimes results in patients having to have dialysis. You know, we could talk so much more about so many things because blood is such a vital part of our body. Oxygen is such a vital part of our body. And the arteries are responsible for getting that blood to all the places in our body that it needs to go. So we need to take care of our arteries. So we need to start that exercise program. We need to start a lifestyle change so that we can eat better. We need to have our cholesterol and triglycerides checked periodically to see if we have a lot of inflammation. We need to seek doctor's guidance on the things that we can do perhaps to reduce that inflammation. Folks, this is really, really serious. And like I said, so many people, they listen to you and shrug it off and don't think too much about it. I know a nurse I work with, and she was going out to have a cigarette the other day. And I said, you know, you got to stop that. I mean, she's maybe 15 years or 20 years younger than me, but it doesn't matter how old you are. The time to stop is whatever age you're at right now. You may have just started yesterday. Today's the best day to stop because these things are going to affect you long term. You don't want them to, and I don't want them to. So please take this very, very seriously. I encourage you to get online and Google these two conditions. And if you look on the intro to the podcast episode, you'll see them in case you have trouble spelling them. Look them up and actually look at some of the different pictures they have of the arteries that are accumulating plaque and starting to lose their elasticity and lose their ability to transport blood effectively. Thank you for joining, and I sure hope it's been a help, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you very much. And by the way, do your part to help others, right? You maybe know some others that maybe need this. You may be working out at the gym every morning and you may be eating healthy and man, that's great. I'm proud of you, but you may have some friends or relatives that may need to hear this. Tell them to tune in. Tell them to listen. And you might save their life. Take care. Bye.